Today's daf is daf tzadik ches. And I suggest that we wait just one tzadik ches. There's one moment so that we can get ourselves that marvelous
Boker R!
There we go. Anybody who is sleeping is now wide awake. And why don't we just review the Mishnah on Tzadik Zayin on the base rapidly. Haya korea la sefer alai skufa. Somebody who's reading on the threshold, he's reading a sefer from a sefer Torah, sefer Kodesh. We'll see that's essentially to insert. The sefer rolls out of his hands. We'll see precisely what the siskufa is in the Gemara, what the question is of carrying here it would be. He's allowed to roll it back. And in the same way, ayakore barosh agag, v'nitgagel sefer miyado, ad shelo higia la'asarat tfachim, if the sefer is hanging in midair from the roof and it hasn't reached into asarat tfachim and the rishut harabim beneath it, there's no problem, gololo etzlo. Then you can take it back. But Mishi Gielisa Asarat Vachim, now you have a problem because it's an Avi Rishut HaRabim. You're going to carry it back into Rishut HaYachid. But Lamaisa, even though you won't be Chayiv Midyoraita, because after all, you still have Ogdo Biyado. It hasn't fallen entirely into Rishut HaRabim. We're going to see another problem here, which is it isn't Munach. If it's hanging in there, it's not Munach. Forget about the issue of whether it's Ogdo Biyado. If it's not Munach, then it doesn't have a din of being there before. Now that's something that we're going to have to explain. We will in the Gemara. So then you can't bring it back to yourself for some reason, even though it seems to be hanging in midair. And therefore, Hovchal Aktav, turn it around so that the Ktav faces towards the Kota. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, I feel in Mesulak Min Haaretz Elik Kmelo Machat, Golalo Etzlo. I don't care about how close to the ground it is. It could even get to a hair's breadth within the ground, but it's not touching the ground, which is strange, because normally it's been a love wood, you know. Okay, apparently there's a problem here with Munach. Again, the Gemara will explain this. You could still bring it back. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afilu Baritz Atzma. I don't care if it's Munach on the ground itself, Galilo Atzma. Even though you're actually carrying it from the Rishut HaRabim into Rishut HaYachid. But since over here, Agdo Biyado, there's no Issur D'Oraita. The only thing is, Shvut HaRabanan. When it comes to Kitvei HaKodesh, Rabbonim were in Gozer, and therefore there's no problem in bringing it back. Says the Gemara, what exactly is the case of this Iskufa? If the Iskufa is a Rishut HaYachid, now it would be a Rishut HaYachid, a normal kind of entrance porch. You know, you have a couple of stairs going up, this little tiny entranceway, very common in American homes, and then you open up the door and walk into Rishut HaYachid. So then you've got a Rishut HaYachid in front of the door too, because it's Lamala Miasor, usually has a little mash even around it, you know. This is such a man is dangerous. and oh, it's such a pleasure. So we have a real Rishut HaYachid. And now the question is, what? We're going to make a gezerah, so kama, right in front of this Rishut HaYachid, is Rishut HaRabim. I assume that's the case then. So kama, kama means in front of it, not kama standing. Kama in Aramaic, Rishut HaRabim. And then the point is that lo gazina dim enough of atilatu. I mean, we have a standard gezerah that we've seen in many cases. We don't allow a person to do something which, if it fall out of his hands, then he would come to actually be machlis Rishut HaRabim Rishut HaYachid. So in other words, apparently in this case, we're saying, look, even though obviously normally we wouldn't allow such a thing, but under the circumstances it's Kitvei HaKodesh, we're not going to be gozer. Okay, so then who would the author of that be? Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, who in the end of the Mishnah says that Kodesh of Shvut lo gozer Rabbana. So then here too, money Rabbi Shimon, either Makodavan Shim Shum Shut, they know maybe Fnake Tvei HaKodesh. Okay, I mean that's tolerable. We could say the opening of the mission of Rabbi Shimon. The problem is, look at the next piece. Ema Seifa, this is Ema Seifa, means Ema Seifa of the Rage. Ema Seifa, Rabbi Yudo, Merafilo, Ena Mesulik Menaritz, Ela Melachut. Now, I don't get it. He's saying that it can't be touching the ground. This is in the case of the Gog. And now we're finally going to understand, so what exactly is the difference between these two cases? What are they illustrating separately? So in the case of the iskufa, we're apparently willing to say that even if it fell to the ground, but as long as you're holding one end, roll it up, even assuming it's reshut hayachid. Why? I assume because it's in your hand, and there's no problem over here. Maybe the whole thing will fall. Why not? Because it's kitvei hakodesh. Going according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, next case. Says Rabbi Yehuda, if it falls from the roof, then only if it's a little bit off of the ground, which was not an issue when it comes to the iskufa. Okay, so this can't be Rabbi Shimon. In other words, he's arguing. So this is going then according to Rabbi Yehuda. Very nice. Then it goes back to Rabbi Shimon Omer. No, what's the difference? Afilu beretz atzma. Gololo etzlava. Isn't that a rather strange way to construct a Mishnah? You open up with the sheet of Rabbi Shimon that is clearly based on there not being a gzera of Kitvei HaKodesh. Then you switch to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, well, no, it's a problem. It would have to be at least not Muna, even though it's Ogabiyado. And then announce, oh, but Rabbi Shimon holds it, which was, that's the way we began. Are you trying to tell me that what? That the Reisha, the Seifa is Rabbi Shimon, but the Mitziata is Rabbi Yehuda? It's a little bit weird. Maybe. We don't know yet how to read that somebody else. It's not clear to us at this point what's the difference between 10, within 10, or within a chut asara. We can figure it out, of course, if we know the difference. The difference is lovehood, issues of lovehood. But we'll get to that. But right now, let's assume that there's no difference, that we don't have to construct a tripartite mission over here, which we'll talk about in a moment. So how do you explain that? Omer of Yehuda. I don't try to explain it. I accept it. Reisha v'sefer b'shun mitziata Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, it is a little bit odd, but it's certainly it's not a fatal objection. Maybe there are other issues that we're bringing in two cases, but it's not that bad, is it? Rabbi says, and I don't like that. What we could say is that the two cases express a difference in a level of Bizayim Kitvei HaKodesh, which is a whole different thing. In other words, forget about the differences in terms of the dinim of Reshut HaRabim and Reshut HaYachid. Let's agree that the Yiskufa is indeed a Reshut HaYachid, just like the Gog. And therefore, you got a problem. How to explain the difference in the cases? Why does the Reisha open and as if there's no problem because of Kitvei HaKodesh, and yet it can't be Rabbi Shimon, because I don't accept that you'd start with Rabbi Shimon, go to Rabbi Yehuda, go back to Rabbi Shimon. Must be that even Ali ben the Tana Kama, who argues on Rabbi Shimon, for some reason the case of the Iskufa is different than the case of the Gog, even though the Iskufa is the Reshut HaYachid. The only difference I can come up with is that the Mishnah is essentially telling us that it's not a blanket question how to treat Kitvei HaKodesh. It depends how bad the situation is. So in an iskufa, people walk over. He's putting half a sefer Torah upside down for people to walk over. That's already outrageous. Bishlema, the sefer falls from the roof to the ground. Okay, I understand it's not very pleasant. But I'll call it like that. What are we going to say over here, where people are walking over the entranceway? So we're going to have Kitvei HaKodesh lying there. Oh, that's already such a darga of Bizayon Kitvei HaKodesh. And over there, we even the Tana Kama says, God, I can't tolerate all this. So, we're talking about over here in Iskufa, that is indeed a Reshut HaYachid. The only difference between it and the Gog is that there's a heightened Bizayon, and therefore they were matir, the Mishum Bizayon Kitvei HaKodesh, to bring the Sefer up. So, in other words, the Tanakam is Moda in a Bizayon level. Higher Bizayon level. Rabbi Shimon is saying when it comes to Kitvei HaKodesh, any level of Bizayon, there was no Gezeira. And that's why the Mishnah separates the cases.
Not a great idea for him to have been learning about Scoop in that day.
You mean a case it would fall?
No, I'm saying having a Sefer Torah.
Well, maybe he was holding it in his hand or whatever. Right. At that point it was okay, but what's he supposed to do now? So, Eitvei Abaye. Abaye says, no, that doesn't make any sense. Because look, there's a braita on this Mishnah that says that the case of the iskufa isn't as simple as it looks, because it depends how far the sefer rolled out into the street. So if it's toch arba amot, so then go lo etzlo. But if it's chutz larba amot, then you can't roll it to yourself, and you have to turn it alektav. Now, this doesn't make any sense. If the issue is that we're talking about iskufa hanidresa, and the whole point is that I'm not going to be gozer shvot in a case where you have Kitvei HaKodesh with a heightened bizoyim, what's the difference? Mali toch arba amot, mali chutz arba amot. I mean, it's exactly the same issue. It's all shvus, right? Because once it's a gudo biyado, so then there's never going to be a problem of otsa d'oraita. That's for sure. So if that's the case, I mean, you're not going to start talking about which level of Shvot and which level of Bizoyenet. I mean, why is there a difference between the carrying it from Reshut HaRabim into Reshut HaYochid or carrying it Arba Amos into Reshut HaRabim? It's the same Gezerah. If you're willing to give up on one, you're going to say, I don't care if it rolled out. So what are you going to say? What if it would fall completely? The guy would also bring it up. I'm not Choshesh. That's a Shvot. It comes now to problems with Kitvei HaKodesh. I'm not going to be bothered by that. No. So if it's Arba Amot, what are you afraid of? That the guy will carry it from the end, stop before he comes to his school? For what exactly is the problem? Why is that more of a problem than this? Therefore, you've got to have a wrong impression of this Iskufa if the Braitha claims there's a difference between Arba Amot or less than Arba Amot. Because if the Iskufa is Rishut HaYachid, there's certainly no difference between carrying from Rishut HaRabim into Rishut HaYachid or carrying Arba Amot into Rishut HaRabim. Is exactly the same choice. Therefore, says Abaye, forget about your Pshatim. None of them work with this Braitha. You cannot say that an Askufa that's a Rishut HaYachid is going to make a nafkamina whether it's four or not four. Tosis points out, by the way, that we could have asked the same question earlier, because none of the above pirushim, anybody who says that the din of the iskufa is an iskufa reshut hayachid will not be able to explain it, because there's no nafkamina between carrying from reshut harabim to reshut hayachid or carrying four almas in reshut harabim. Therefore, says Abaye, since none of those pshatim are ever going to work, I don't care how you add little bandages on it, why don't we just change the paradigm and say that indeed the iskufa is not a reshut hayachid, and what we're talking about, in fact, is an iskufa karmeli askinan. We're talking about an iskufa that isn't ten tvachim ayin. Therefore, it has a din of a karmeli. It's in front of a reshut harabim. It's basically a small porch, a low, maybe a step outside of the doorway. You open it up, and it's maybe six tvachim high. Take one step down, and you're in the reshut harabim. So now you've got the reshut harabim over the fanav, and that explains the difference, because if it's toch arba amot, so there, even if it had fallen completely into the Reshut HaRabim, what would be the deal? Even if it had fallen, you could pick it up, bring it in, and you still wouldn't be over an Issa D'Oraita, because from a Reshut HaRabim to a Carmelite, there's no Issa D'Oraita. So fine, in that case, where you're low atil, dech yuv chatat, in that case, shor lo rabbonin, they didn't make a shvot on this case, where even if you did the Yisr, it would also be the rabbonin. So what am I going to make now? A gzeirah that maybe will come to another gzeirah of carrying into a carmelite? That's where I'm not going to go. Tosis points out that later on in the sugya, we're going to see that there are cases where Abaye is gozer gzeirah le gzeirah in this. But we'll have to distinguish between those cases. So therefore, shor lo rabbonin, because there's no way to come to this D'Oraita. Masha'en Cain, once the Sefer rolls outside of Arba Amot, so now, taking the same case, what would be the Gzeir of Shvot, that the whole thing rolled outside of Arba Amot? Oh, so then if you would carry it Arba Amot, stop for a moment before you go to the Eskufa, so then you would be over on carrying from 4 Amot to Reshut HaRabim, which is a D'Oraita. Ah, a D'Oraita already we make the Gzeir of Shvot, and it all works out, Aliba. The Tanakama, that there are gezerot of Shvot even when it comes to Kitvei HaKodesh. And now everything is fine. The whole first part of the Mishnah is assuming that there are gezerot, just not gezerot with gezerot. So if it's 4 amot, then you could come to the D'Oraita. If it's not 4 amot, you're only going to carry from Shadayach into the Carmelite. That's the worst case. And that's only drabonot. So now everything makes sense. We make a Shvot. We make them to the D'Oraita. We make it even connected to Kitvei HaKodesh. And then comes along Rav Shimon at the end of the Mishnah, and he says, no, never. But Mishnah very clear. Says the Gemara, well, what's so clear about that? If you're telling me that we're worried when it's 4 amot away, that you're going to carry from the end of 4 amot in the event that the whole thing fell, you'll carry from the end of 4 amot, and what? Before you get into the Iskufa, you'll stop for a second. Because then, if you go into the Iskufa, then you can carry Arba Amot Bereshut HaRabim, because there was no Hanoch Bereshut HaRabim. Okay, so you told me that you're going to maybe come to an Issa D'Oraita. So I'll ask you the same thing. Suppose you would carry directly from the street, walk through the Carmelite without stopping, and go into the Reshut HaYachid on the other side. You could also come to an Issa D'Oraita, because you're carrying from Reshut HaRabim into Reshut HaYachid. So even if it was Toch Arba Amot, you could still come. So why don't we make Gzera there, Dilma Mayom, Reshut HaRabim, Reshut HaYachid directly, and maybe you're going to try to tell me, over there there's a Carmelite in the middle. And since there's a Carmelite in the middle, there's no way to be chayav if you go directly from Reshut HaRabim to Reshut HaYachid, because you can't skip the Carmelite. But we're not worried about them. Not true. Because Omar Rava, Amavir Chefetz Mitchilat Arba Lesof Arba, Ve'eviro Derech Alav, Chayav, that somebody who carries in Rishut HaRabim, four Amot, even though he lifts the thing that he's carrying above ten Tvachim. So now it's in the Avir, above. It's not in Avir Rishut HaRabim, it's above Avir Rishut HaRabim. So what is it in? A Mokum Batur. Since I go directly from picking it up in Rishut HaRabim, so I do an Akira, and then I move it through a Mokum Batur, and now do a Anocha in a Mokum Osir, I'm Chayav. So what's an afkamina if I go from a Rishut HaRabim, go through a Mokum Tur, because essentially a Carmelite is nothing but a Mokum Tur with a Durabona tagged on to it, right? There's only three Rishios, there's two Rishios with one non-Rishios. The Carmelite is a non-Rishios as far as the Rishios is concerned. Fine, Durabona want to tag it as a Rishios, very nice. But it's the same halacha. I did an Akira on Rishut HaRabim, I carried it into Rishut HaYachid, and I carried it through an area where if I had been Meniach, in that area I would have been Potter. So what? Same thing. Yeah, in that case. Not if you're walking. But every Rishut HaRabim you're walking. If according to you, if there's a problem where your feet are, how could you ever be Chayav in Arba Amot Rishut HaRabim since you didn't carry it anywhere? If you're viewing his walking as being a series of standings, so then you can't be chayav in Rishut HaRabim at all. But it's not kamina, and when you're walking through a Carmelite, it's also attached to your body. Who cares? It's attached to your body in either case. So if Rav is willing to be chayav in that case, why wouldn't he be chayav in the other case?
I thought what he was asking is the definition of walking through Rishut HaRabim that you're high on Daraisa is because you're walking through it and we ignore the fact of where you're holding it.
Why is it not relevant?
Because this is what the Torah was Mechayev.
I don't know what that means. It was Mechayev when it was B'tol Cheser. Who says it was Mechayev when you went through another Rishut to carry the Chayev to another area? Who said? Who said such a thing? So here's the same thing. You walk through another area, who cares? You walk from Rishut HaRabim to Rishut HaYachid. So Lechora, you would be Chayev. Answers the Gemara. This is really a tough one. Well, I have to say that there's a long, long skufa over here. You say, who cares if it's long? Because at a hokim mitka, by the time you get to the end of the skufa, you'll remember, whoops, I'm not supposed to go into Rishut HaYachid. So in the mail, we're going to have to sort of tag on a lot of bandages on this pshat. Well, you know what? I have a better pshat than that. But you're right. That's pretty tough. Okay. Ibai tema liolambi skufa she'ina arucha. You see, the issue over here is, though, that when you're carrying Kitvei HaKodesh, you'll notice, basically, you pick up something in Rishut HaRabim that you can read, you end up reading it. Since you read it, you stop, because you read it. So if this were a ball or Oakland, whatever, fine, I understand, but you're talking about something that you're pursuing. So if you're pursuing, so it has interest, and therefore you'll stop. Umanachlu. So then it'll be a Hanacha. Once there's a Hanacha, so then there's no problem with carrying it into Rishut HaYachid. Wait a minute. Last time I heard, people that go to pick up something, that the book that falls in Rishus HaRabim, they go to Rishus HaRabim and they start reading it there. They don't even wait to read. So how do we know that he wasn't ma'ayin in it in Rishut HaRabim, finishes the iyun, and then carries it straight into the Rishut HaYachid from the Rishut HaRabim? That's just as likely. Well, I have to say it's going according to Ben Azai. Ben Azai holds that Mahalash Kaome Dami. So if you're walking, it's as if you were actually standing. Therefore, according to him, there would be, in fact, a halacha of hanocha in the iskufa. So that even though you didn't stop walking, you were doimed lafush, but you were meniachit in the rishut of the Carmelite. Therefore, no matter if you, unless you were flying, there'd be no way to carry it directly from Rishut HaYachid into Rishut HaRabim. Ask the Gemara, maybe he isn't flying, but maybe the Kitvei HaKodesh are flying. That has a din of hanocha.
How do you ever?
And that was Ben-Azai's discussion about Ben-Azai earlier. That's what Barnea was referring to, what the difference is between the Arba'im and Rishut HaRabim. But even though you're not flying, maybe the Sefer is flying. Meaning, that you're going to Rishut HaRabim and you throw the Sefer to somebody in Rishut HaYachid. So why wouldn't we have to be gozer according to them? There's always a place for, if you're saying it's a shvus, whenever you could come to an Issa D'Oraita, so you've got this problem of a possible Issa D'Oraita, maybe you'll throw the Sefer. Oh, must be. Why would that be true? Because Amr Rav Yochanan Ben Azai is motivated. If you go through a Baka Patur, Carmelite, but Bezrika, that we ignore the other Rishuts. From here we see that indeed there's no Chashash, because who's going to throw a Sefer Torah? Okay. Now, we got to get to the issue of what the difference is, of whether it's 10 or close to the ground, and why there's no Nafkamina of Lovud, and so on. But before we get to that, the Eitzah that the Mishnah gives us is a pretty strange Eitzah. Because, I don't know, last I heard is when you try taking a Sefer and turning it upside down, everybody falls on you and starts tearing you into pieces. They say that's not nice. You know, the Mishnah is saying that that's what you should do, and that ever happened to you. They try to kill you. So how does the Mishnah tell us to do such a thing? Mishori, you're telling me it's okay to turn a book upside down? Vatanya kotves varim tfilinu mezuzot. Say you're so fair. You just wrote now on a cloth. You're very worried. Dust could fall on it. Somebody could touch it, or a fly gets on it and messes up the whole thing. Nonetheless, lo yitir lam lafoch yiriyah panah. There's no way for you to be allowed to take it and to turn it upside down in order to avoid this from happening. What you can do is you can maybe put something over it, but you certainly can't turn it upside down. It's because of bizoyim. Okay, hatam efshar, ochalo efshar. I mean, I understand. You're telling me that in a case where I have an alternative, turning something to its face is not a derech kavod. 100%. What am I supposed to do under these circumstances? So Rashi says, why can't I just put a beged over it? I don't have one. It doesn't mean you don't have one. That's not the problem. Even if you have one. In the same way that you can't take it back, you can't put something over it. If we're answering carrying up, why wouldn't we answer carrying down? So why does Rashi have to come on to not having a beged? Interesting discussion. Huh?
What's the problem with the beged? Can take over, it's exposed?
Yeah, just bizarre. It's like the exposure is not nice.
So we say turning it the other way is more of a design.
Well, we're not saying more. We're saying, but it's also bizarre. So, I mean, obviously, the Gemara is answering now. Look, if you don't have a choice, it's less bizarre than having it exposed like that. But we certainly wouldn't do that in Lechatchila. It's just that over here it fell. So since it fell, we can't bring it back. What are we supposed to do? So therefore, over here, Achalo Avshar, the Ilo up. If you're not going to turn it down, then he could be Zayin Kitvei HaKadosh Tvei. Then there's more bizarre than having it exposed than there is in turning it the other way around. Okay, now it falls betoch asara, and it says, "Well, you can't take it back." Of chalakta. I mean, why? Alon nach. I don't understand. You're talking about it falls off of a roof. It falls off of a roof. It's hanging in midair. It isn't in Rosh Hashanah yet. The fact that something is in the air, but there's no hanocha, it's not even in Issa D'Rabbana. It's not in. What about the case early on in Masechet Shabbat where the guy stuck his hand out and it was in the air over there? Remember, the whole Gemara was a gzeira. Maybe he'll drop it. And therefore we made a gezerah because he put it out. But over here, what does that have to do with it? Something fell. It wasn't anybody's intent. It's not munach and reshut rabim. So carry it back. It's not even a mokum for shvoz. Oh, my Rava, it's got to be talking about that when it falls off of the roof, it falls off of the roof onto a wall of a building, which is slightly on an angle, so that as it reaches 10 amot, the 10 tvachim from the roof, from the level of the street, it actually hits the edge of the wall, and therefore is munach b'reshut harabim. So that's the issue. Once it's munach b'toch hasara tvachim, so then reshut harabim is oila, that's hasara tvachim. B'toch hasara. If it's lamalam yasar tvachim, it's not in reshut harabim. That's a separate issue. Because then it's munach nowhere. It's munach in a makom patur. And then you can pull it up. So that's got to be what it's talking about. Amalei Abaye, how could that be what it's talking about? That makes no sense at all. But mayo kibtin lamatnitz, and you're alone. The phantom of the opera is here. Nod to Yehuda Daf Yomi. Let's hope he doesn't show up. So now what have you said? You've said that the Mishnah is talking about a Kotel Mishupa. I mean, obviously, you're not just saying this one case of the Betoch Asora. Fine. So let's take a look at the next piece, please. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afilo Einam Eselak Benaretz Ela Melo HaChut. How could Rabbi Yehuda say that something that is within Asora, as long as it's below Achut, what is below Achut after the price of eggs in China? You're telling me it's Munach. If it's Munach, the Chut doesn't make any nafkamina. It's certainly within Asora Tvachim. You're saying it's Munach and a Kota Meshuka. So what are we talking about? Vonachme. In that case, it's sitting in a Rishadara. How could he have said that? No, obviously, the Mishnah's got to be Muchusar here, a change in plant. Because otherwise, there's no way to make the first part and the second part work out. So the Mishnah demands When do we say that if it's betochatzar? See, we thought we had some kind of tripartite mission in which there's yet another shita. We have three shitas. Shita that says betochatzar, shita that says as long as it's not touching the ground, and a shita that says even if it is touching the ground. We weren't able to identify a shita that holds betochatzar that isn't munach. We had to say that it is munach. But then if it is munach, it's impossible for anybody to be cholek and say that a meloah achut isn't considered to be munach and mishus rabin. Certainly any time that you're within shloshet tefachim, you're munach, right? So then what's going on in the mishus? We're forced to add another piece. Now it turns out that it's all really one halach, achutan. Bamed varim amurim, where do we say it becomes osir to lift it up from the mishus rabin, even if it's betochatzar tefachim? That's dafke bekoto mishupa, where it has a din of hanacha. Aval bekoto she'enu mishupa. If, however, the kotel is not on an angle, so then it would be a function of lovut. If it's within shlosha tvachim of the ground, then it's as if the ground extends up, we call that ara smichta. So then it's actually a munach brishut rabbi. So then lamala mishlosha, if it's more than three tvachim high, fine. So then you could still be gololo at shlosha. So there's the next piece is defining what's the difference between 10 and 3 if it wouldn't be mishupa, if it didn't have a place where it could sit. So then, if it's 3, gololo etzlo. Lamata mishlosha ofcho al haktav. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda in that case says, afilu einu mesulak min haaretz, even kamole machat. Oh, so now what he's saying is a whole new thing. He's saying, look, there's two halachas over here. There's a halacha of where you are. As far as where you are, asara tefachim me'al rishut harabim is the shear of av rishut harabim. No nafkamina between asara tefachim, shlosha tefachim.
Even though it's not nach.
No, then there's a separate issue. Is it or is it not nach? That's a separate question. It's not the same thing. Separate the issues. Nach means that it has to be standing on something. Can't be standing in the air. We're all agreed to that, right? Oh. The thing where we're disagreeing is whether the din of lovud and ara smichta supplies the physical requirement of being nach on something. I say, says Rabbi Yehuda, two different issues. You can talk about ara smichta, but you can't persuade an object betoch shlosha that it's at rest, because it isn't. So if it's lamaisa at rest, let's say it lands on a nail, then you're saying, but it's not a makom chashav. Oh, it's a makom chashav, because betoch shlosha is a makom chashav. That I agree. But you can't change the question of being at rest, which is a physical reality, and talk about the virtual halacha of ara smichta giving you a din of makom chashav. Those are two different things, okay? So again, according to this expression, this is not the end. According to this expression, we still have a three-part-type mission, right? Mm-hmm. Because we start off with a shita that holds that if it's betok shlosha, it doesn't require any type of physical contact with the ground. Then we have Rabbi Yehuda who says, it's got to have some contact. Even if it's a hair's breadth above the ground, it doesn't have contact with the ground, so it's not really nach. And then we have Rabbi Shimon that says, it wouldn't even matter, even if it's on the ground, because it's only a drop on it, right? We'd still have three shita. Problem is, if that's the case, the bina hanocha gabi mashum, you're saying. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Afilenu Mesulak Min Haaretz Afilu Kibla Achud bina hanocha gabi mashum. So let me ask you something. How about that we had that famous machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Akiva, where the kluta kamisha unchadamya, somebody throws something from one rishus into the other, and a dog eats it up on its way down. The question is, once it gets into the rishus, it's kluta in the avir of the rishus, is it munach or it's not munach? That was the machlokas. The Rabbanan and say, no, it's got to reach betok shlosha, but once it reaches betok shlosha, only then is it munach. Rava was mechadesh. Now, when did the Rabbanan say over there that tok shlosha is considered to be munach? Dafka, if it really is munach, at something at least. So tzorech hanacha, at least mashu, it has to be at rest, even though it's betok shlosha. Now, you're telling me that Rava said that, knowing full well that there's a machlokas here in Eretz Yehudin, between the Tanakhama, whoever it is, and this middle Shita of Rebbe Yehuda, and it's only Rebbe Yehuda Shita that holds that you need to have an actual Hanukkah. But according to the Tanakhama, once it would reach Betoch Shlosha Tvachim, then already it's at rest, even though it isn't really at rest. Why would Rava start up with the whole Machlokes Tanaim? I mean, we just say, he should have said, I'll leave it to Rebbe Yehuda, of course, it would require Hanukkah. By the way, it wouldn't even be necessary to say it, since it's well known. So what's the point? Therefore, I suggest we don't have a tripartite Mishnah. The way to read, once you have to, look, you also have to admit that we need to be Mechaser the Mishnah. There's no way to make it work out. It can't be that it's both Munach Agabe Mashu in the beginning, and then there's an Afkamina if it's a hair's breadth above the ground in the middle. That makes no sense. Either it is Munach or it is a Munach. Therefore, I suggest that what we should do is, once we're making the Chisur Mechaser, make it work out entirely, I'll leave it to Rebbe Yehuda, instead of creating a new Shita. Elokula Rebbe Yehuda, V'chisur Mechaser, V'achik Tali. Bamed Varma, just like we said before, Bamed Varma, Murim, that if it's Betoch Hasara, you would not be allowed to bring it up because it's in Rishut HaRabim. That's only true if it's on a Koto Mishupan, it has where to rest. It's resting on the edge of the wall. Avo Bekot, obviously it would have fallen off normally, except it's connected to the other half of the scroll that's on the roof. But the point is, the part that's in Rishut HaRabim is now resting. It's at rest. It's not hanging in the air. But if it would be less, Koto She'eino Mishupa, then Afilu Pachot Mishloshat Vachim, don't make a middle piece, which is Shloshat Vachim and non-Shloshat Vachim. Well, what you should say is like this. If it's not Mishupa, then I don't care how close it gets to the ground, Golalo Etzlo. Why? Because as Rav Yehuda has explained to us, Afilo Einu Mesubak Benaretz El Amalo Achut Golalo Etzlo. My time at the Be'inan Anacha Agabe Mashu. In which case, there is no Machloket here. There's no middle Machloket. The beginning of the Mishnah says, once it's Be'avir Rishut HaRabim, as long as it's munach, either through a kotel mashu or through landing on a nail when it's betok shloshas and now it's a makab chashas. I don't care how you manage the hanokha. If there's a hanokha, there's a problem. No hanokha, there's no problem. Comes along, Rabbi Shimon says, even with a hanokha, there's no problem. That's the Mishnah, very simple. Two shitot all the way through. Ziz shalif nechalon not ninolav v'notelin mimenu b'shabbat. Now that we've seen that we have this problem that might happen of falling off of a reshut that is small, like the eskufa, the question is whether there's a problem of initially using an area that things will fall off on. Because remember, you introduced the question of the chashash that maybe something will fall and you'll end up carrying it from Rishut HaRabim to Rishut HaYachid, right? Okay, so why does that have to be only when half of it fell? If there really is such a chashash, and where Gozer is such a shvot, then Gozer in the first place. Don't use an area that is very small because something may fall off, and then you'll come down, walk into Rishut HaRabim, and pick it up. We've had that gzera so many times that wherever there's a chashash that you'll take something off, or something will fall off, and this is a gzera that's nogeh l'halacha all the time. It was a question whether you're allowed to wear sunglasses on Shabbat, whether you can wear a hat on Shabbat, or anything that may come off, because you want it to come, maybe you'll carry it. Anything that might break and will fall off, maybe you'll carry it, and so on and so forth. So Mamela, why wouldn't that gzera? The previous mission immediately suggests you, this problem. If there's a problem of Shvot, then there should be a problem with Chatchila Shvot. Therefore, I need to tell you immediately what is in fact the halacha of a small, let's take a really interesting case where this is a problem. You have a shelf in front of your window, jutting out from your window over Rishut HaRabim. You put something out on that little shelf, can you? I mean, maybe Mitzad Adin, it's in the Avir of Rishut HaRabim, or it's even a Mokum, it's Rishut HaYachid, but are you afraid of leaving something that may fall, that then you'll run downstairs and bring it into the house? Because that's what the previous mission suggests.
This is the
problem, Let's see. So, nonetheless, says here in the Mishnah, you can go right ahead and use it. There's no problem. You live on the second story, use it. Now, explain to me what the case is. Exactly where does the shelf jut out into? I mean, even in the Mafid Lushut HaRabim, if it's jutting out, I assume that the case was it's jutting out into Lushut HaRabim. But, and it doesn't even make sense, because the previous Mishnah suggests that we're worried about the possibility of something falling. So, Lechish Dimonofi Vati Latuyi, why aren't we afraid that something will fall off of the disease, and then you'll go out through your front door, go downstairs, and pick it up and bring it in? Very common event. Ella, what are you saying? That it was Mafik Lushut HaYachid? Was it's hanging over your chutzner? So then, of course, you're allowed. Well, what's the problem? Even if you'll tell me it's a chutzner Shena Murebet, I'm certainly not going to make a gzeira that maybe it falls into your chutzner. That's ridiculous. So then it's obvious. Then Pshita, I don't understand the case. The case is as you thought, that it's jutting out of your window over the street. And indeed, we will have to understand the Mishnah as meaning, you can only use it for things that are going to break if they fall. So we don't make an overall gezeira, don't use a ziz. Because if you use a ziz for a glass, you may also use it for your Starbucks metal cup. No, you can use it for the glass, but you can't use it for the cup. Now, for a good cup.
What about the
crazy? Ignore them. Tanya Nami, huh? Ziz Shelifnei, you know, they're getting towards the end of the Masech, they want to use up all those little types. The Brite indeed makes it clear that this is an afkamina. Tanya Nami, huh? Ziz Shelifnei HaChalon HaYotzei L'Rshut HaRabim Notnim Alav Ka'arot Kosot Kitoniot Tzluchiyot. Anything breakable, whether it's glass, or whether it's cheres, or whether it's a plate, or whether it's a pitcher, a bowl, whatever, use it all you want. Umishtamish b'chol hakotz. As a matter of fact, even if it extends to the side of your window, it's hard to get. It doesn't matter. If it falls, just make sure it's somebody you don't like that's underneath it. But and you can use it aras ratachtonim. Now you don't want to use it if it's within the avir of the Rishut HaRabim, of course, and you're going to be carrying from the Rishut HaYachid into Chorei Rishut HaRabim, basically, because that's already becomes the Tashmish of the Rishut HaRabim. Now here comes the complicating factor. Suppose there's another shelf under this shelf. So then you can only use the lower shelf. Ooh, weird. Mishtamesh bo, you use the lower shelf, but you can't use the higher shelf. Velyon ein mishtamesh, except if some of the higher shelf is directly across from your window. In other words, as long as your window extends outward, so the shelf of the window is on extension of your window, then you can use it. You can use it kineged chalono. Now, I got to understand this case. What's this case all about? So what's the case over here? What you're telling me that this is a very small ziz. So it doesn't have 4x4. The Gra takes out the words makom p'tur because it makes no sense. Because if you're going to put in the words makom p'tur, you'll have to say that af al pisha makom p'tur hu afilo achi kineged chalono lo yishtamesh. I mean, he just takes it out. This is like this. If let's be arba'a, so therefore, what's the problem? The problem is that since it's so small, things are going to fall off of it all the time, as a matter of course. But then we don't let you use it. In other words, if you have a large shelf, and there's just a chashash that something will fall off, okay, use it as long as there's no chashash that it'll be brought into the house. Use it for breakable kelim. But if it's so small that it's likely that it'll fall off, I'm not going to let you use it like a tequila. So becoming over there, it just looks like you're using it as a dumping ground. You're pouring your garbage, your broken cups out of your house or job. You're going to put it over there, the first wind that comes along, take it down to the street. So then, I feel going to get chalon on amilo yishtam. So how could you use it even in a piece that's against your chalon?
Because it's too small and things are definitely going to fall.
Yeah, things are definitely going to fall. The eat bearbine, and if it does have the requisite size, so then what is the fact that there's something underneath it have to do with using it? I don't understand. So then, b'kulei hakotel yishtamish. Why can't you use the whole thing? How did something underneath it change status to something above it? Amar Abaye, the case over here must be that the tachton indeed has arba'a, and the elyon doesn't have arba'a except keneged the chalon. So where it's keneged the chalon, There it has arba'ah because it extends into the chalon as well. So the chalonu mashlimato li arba'ah. So keneged achalon, where it is keneged achalon, there's no problem there. It's okay to use it because over there it's chorei achalon. It's like the same type of idea. Now, the pshat we've been saying does not support the words chorei achalon. Because chore always is used technically. And what it means is it's an extension of a rishus, let's say in terms of chore rishut ravi, where the area doesn't satisfy requirements of rishut ravi because it has a mechitzot. But since it's being used by people of rishut ravi, it's an extension of rishut ravi. Or chore rishut ayachid, same idea. Or ein chorin v'karmeli, same idea. To use that word here to say it's chore achalon, and therefore it is a big enough area because after all, it's not going to fall right. That has nothing to do with chorin. Therefore, Rashi, who is the author of this pshat, has to say that chore is used here as a borrowed term. It means it's sort of like an extension of the chalon. So we see it all as having a nice solid area in which you can sit on. So over there, you can use the upper area. But the rest of it, you can't use the upper area. So there you can use it. But the haigisa of the haigisa, asur. Now, obviously, the objection to all of this is, so then, what does it have to do with the bottom one? Bottom one, so then what's that have to do? What's the chiddush of there being a bottom one? Use the bottom one, don't use the top one. So I have to say the chiddush is that even though the bottom one now becomes more difficult to use because there's a small shelf jutting out in front of you, so you would say, so maybe you'll drop it as you're putting your hand. Okay, the chiddush is it's not a problem. You get this mishnah to the beginning. We'll do that first. And so our review begins. Who would that be? Rabbi Shimon the Omer called of Arshum Mishum Shvot. Eno maybe Tzniki Tvei Hakodesh. Ema Seifa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afilo Ina Mesulik Menaretz and Malach Hud Golo Etzlo. And then Rabbi Shimon Omer Afilo Baretz Etzba Golo Etzlo. You're telling me Reisha Vasev Rabbi Shimon Mitzat Rabbi Yehuda? Omer Rabbi Yehuda? Yeah, what can you do? Reisha Vasev Rabbi Shimon Mitzat Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Omer, no, it's very simple. We're talking about a skuf and address it as kinan, and there's heightened bizoyer kitvei hakodesh over there. Even the rabbanon amat etvei abayis. So then, how do you explain the brayta? Toch arba amotir lo tzokutzi arba ufchal aktav. Mi amet be skuf and address it as kinan. Mali toch arba amot, mali chutz arba amot. Elam rabaya, obviously be skuf a karmelit as kinan. V'shut arabim overet lefanea. Even if it had fallen over there, surely Rabbanan. Chutz arba amodi ma'itilei ati dechi ufchatat lo surely Rabbanan. Why don't we make exeria filu toch arba amod nami nixodim amayom rishut rabim straight into the house through the porch? Maybe otaynati teimim b'kimin the mafseket akarmeli letlan ba, not true because Omar Rava hamavir chefetz b'tchilat arba lasof arba vehevirot derech alav chayav. Alchemamayaskinan biskufa aruka because ada hachi vahachi mitka viboy teima liyolam baskuba shein aruka. And therefore, manachlu. Leichesh dima ma'ayin bu b'rushet rabbi. Ma'ayelo ba'adir b'rushet ha'achid. Amani ben azay. Dima ma'alech ko me dami. V'dima zorek lu misra. Tom Rav Yochan, even ben azay is b'odah. B'zorek. Om Rav Acha bar Ava. Zot omeret. Ein zorkin kitvei ha'kodesh. Hayakorei b'rush ha'gag. Mishari v'atayna. Kitvei svarim. Kotvei svarim. Tfilin ha'mezuzah. Lo itirolem lafoch yuri alpanea. You have to be poris alei atabeget. What's the kasha? Atam efshar, achalo efshar. The ilo apich, it's even worse. There's ikka bizoyin kitvei hakodesh tvei. Okay, so of chol haktav, what's the problem? Olo nach. Omar Rava must be bekotel mishupa. Omar le abaya, so then how's the rest work out? B'mayo kitvei lamatitin. Bekotel mishupa. So the name is sefer. Rav Yirom rafilein besulik benarach al melachut. Golo lo atzlo. How? It's landed on the kotel. No, במה דברים אמורים בקוטו משופע? אבל בקוטו שאינו משופע. Then it depends. למעלה משלוש הגבלו אצלו, למטה משלוש ההופכה פניו, and Rabbi Yehuda comes along to say that אפילו, forget about those two dots, אפילו אינו מסולק מן הארץ, and so on, to be in an anach, אגבי משהו. Forget about the second two dots too. In other words, the printer misunderstood this to be a introduction of the piece of the Mishnah. It's not. It's the Gemara's quote of the continuing Mishnah. It's a complete misunderstanding to put two dots at the beginning and the end here. So then, Elohad Yomar Rava Tok Shloshal Rabbanan Tzorich Hanacha. You're telling me that Lema Ketano Yomar Neshmaitse. Okay. Elohena Kula Rabbi Yudei V'chzer Mechas in a different way. We should have forgotten about that love of business. V'chi Ketano. Bambet Varmum Rebekotu Mishupa. Ava Bekotu Sheena Mishupa. Who cares where it is? Afilu Pachot Mishloshet V'chim it still would be butter. Because Rabbi Yudei Omer Afilu Enem Esulik Benarit Zimolo Achut Golalo Etzlo. Why? To be in a Hanukkah, Gabi Mashu at least. Zishalif Ne'achalon Natim Alavanotim Imenu B'Shabbat. How is this the Mevik Lechem? Don't we have to be Cheshitim enough about Ilatri? Elo the Mavik Lushut Ayachit. What's the Chiddush? Om Rabbi Eliyahu on the Mavik Lushut Rabbim. Umay notes Nina Lav Diktani only Kelim Anishborim. Tani Rami Hachi Zishalif Ne'achalon Ayotze Lushut Rabbim Notinu Lav Kaorot Kosot Kitoniot Sluchiot Umishtamesh B'Kol HaKotel עד עשרה התחתונים, ואם יש זיז אחד למטה ממנו, משתמש בו בעליון, אין משתמש בו כנגד חלונו. היי זיז איכת דמי, ידלת בארבעה מוקם טורו, ואפילו כנגד חלונו, that doesn't make sense in מוקם טורו. אז ידלת בארבעה, אפילו כנגד חלונו, נמי לא ישתמש, ואית בארבעה, בכולי הכותל להשתמש. אומר הבאי, תחתון, ואית בארבעה. ועליון דלת בארבעה. Except chalono mashlima tola arba. So therefore, kineged achalon mishtamech dechorei chalono. The haidisa of the haidisa asur. Omer adam reshuta yachid metato reshuta rabim metato reshuta yachid. Bevad shlo yotzichutz mi'arba amot. Lo yam od adam reshuta yachid yashtin reshuta rabim yashtin reshuta yachid. Vechein lo yarok. Rabbi Yudoner, af mishenitla shroko bepiv, lo yalech arba amot, ad shiarok.